My topic is, who's the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament? I've got 54 slides and 44 minutes, so here we go. This is an interesting study. I wish I had done it before. It's kind of a rare study amongst us. I only found one sermon. I found a whole lot of sermons, but I only remember hearing one sermon on this topic. And yet, it's been the topic has been around for a long time. The history of this idea that the angel of the Lord may be a Christophany or of Christ in the Old Testament goes clear back to the second century. In fact, it is used often at that time to point out a proof or to be an apologetic for Jesus, a defense that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. And it has been used historically against Islam to show that the idea that Jesus was the Son of God, that God continually through the ages has used Jesus to communicate his will toward man. So this idea has been battered around for a long time, and yet it is mysterious enough, and yet it is indirect enough, an implication enough in the scriptures, that it doesn't seem to be a direct, if you will, doctrinal issue. It's not really put forth as something that has to be necessarily taught to understand the will of God. And so because of that, throughout, it's kind of been in a cloud or in an enigma, a mystery. Many writers say this is mysterious, and they fail to really come down specific on a certain thing. So let's just get at it and just talk about some of the ideas about this. First of all, I believe the evidence in my own studies are so overwhelming considering one viewpoint that I'm really going to spend my time trying to support that point. There are some people who believe that the representative theory, that the angel of Jehovah is just merely representative of God and speaks for God, and the language is inclusive to include God's will, but yet there are some identity things that happen that they've asked to happen that show that that view is untenable, and we're going to go ahead and go through this and just show some of these. First of all, who is the angel of the Lord? The Hebrew word for angel is Malak, or spelled a different way. It's used some over 215 times in the Old Testament, depending on your Hebrew text. Some of them say a few more, a few less, but not very big definition. The definition is messenger, primarily a representative or angel. And contextually, we believe in angels, unlike the Sadducees, and that was one of the reasons why they were sad, you see, is because they didn't believe in the resurrection or angels. So anyway, but an angel is a messenger of God, and that's basically his task, and he is a ministering spirit sent out to render help for those who are receive salvation. Angels contextually can be used to refer to earthly messengers and are such. In fact, the Old Testament is kind of has repeats 1 Kings 19:2, 2 Samuel 2:5, Haggai 1:13, and Luke 7:24 is talking about how men, literal men, not angelic form or being at all, but literal men are angels. This could be the way the New Testament, we're supposed to understand entertaining angels unaware. It could be in reference to preachers or messengers of God. Nobody likes that. I thought you would get that one. That was wonderful to think that that might be talking about entertaining preachers unaware. So anyway, they practice hospitality. But, or spiritual beings, Psalms 19, God created them. So angel is always found in the masculine gender, never feminine or neuter. And Vine's Expository Dictionary, New Testament word, I believe this is critical, even to our previous talk. The way angels come into being is not through procreation. It's not through a nation or a racehood, that kind of concept. That is a human DNA sort of physical type thing. It is not how angels are created. And there is not two genders spoken of as being angels. In Zechariah 5, there is an allusion to a woman having wings. She is part of a vision, and an angel explains what that vision means. It's not an angel sighting, it's a vision. So the whole point is, there are no women angels in the scripture. One man said, well, my wife's an angel. She's always up in the air harping about something. But anyway, the whole point I'm getting at is That's not a biblical concept. And yet our world and its imagination seems to be fascinated with the feminine imagery of angels, and that is totally foreign to the scriptures. I think we just need to be clear on that. Angels are always found in the masculine form and reveal themselves to men as men, if you will. Angels appeared as men to us, always in the scriptures. Hang on here. Okay. Who is the angel of the Lord God? I wanted to say in my study, I included the term angel of God as well. There's only 9 passages, but I believe they need to be included because they show the deity, if you will, of this person. The Hebrew phrase, the angel of the Lord, is a combination of 2 nouns, Yahweh or Jehovah, translated as the Lord, and Malak, or translated the angel of. This phrase is found over 50 times in the Old Testament. And I'm not going to get to Genesis 18 today, but the term angel of the Lord isn't in that passage, and so that's why I'm going to go past it as we go on. We have included the angel of God, Elohim, found 9 times in our study. Because the absolute noun Lord, Jehovah, or God, Elohim, is a proper name, it calls for the definite article, the, in all 56 dependent occurrences of the phrase the angel of the Lord or the angel of God. The nouns are in their proper construct relationship. This means that the angel of the Lord or God is not translated an angel of the Lord God. And this might lead in question and answers. I want to get to one point in the New Testament. My topic is not the angel of the Lord in the New Testament. That term is found in the New Testament, but it's almost always, except for one passage, it's almost always found as an angel, or correctly translated, an angel of the Lord, rather than the angel of the Lord. So, let's continue on. I want to define some terms. A theophany is an appearance or manifestation of God, a compound word delivered from the Greek noun for God, theos, and the Greek verb to appear. Theophany is a manifestation of God's presence in temporary forms perceptible to external senses. That it is more, it can be heard or seen, and they appear as men, but that doesn't mean that they necessarily are flesh. They appear as men. Okay, Christophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ in the Old Testament in some visible form. And pre-incarnate literally means before or made flesh. It means honor before being made flesh. So that when you speak of a pre-incarnate appearance of Jesus Christ, you're talking about Jesus appearing in the Old Testament in some visible form before he actually becomes man. Just because he appears as men in the Old Testament doesn't mean he actually had flesh. And this led to some of the Gnostic doctrines in the New Testament. And today there's Jehovah's Witnesses who believe that Jesus is a created angel, the first created angel, and then after him everything else was created. And they believe he's a manifestation of an angel. But if you pierce him, the Gnostics believe that if you cut him, God's Shekinah would shine out from him. He appear as a man, but it's really just more of a wrapping around the essence of Godhood, that he wasn't literally flesh at all. In fact, that's why 1 John was very clear. Unless somebody, a person who's going to be accepted must believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Okay, so in the Old Testament, Jesus appeared as a man, but he wasn't in flesh. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, John says. And that was in the New Testament. So his coming in the Old Testament and being appearing as a man is in no way believing that he is incarnate, that is, in flesh. He just appeared as he had flesh, if you will. Now, 3 things we are going to learn or should learn about the angel of the Lord. He has characteristics of deity. He is distinguished from others designated or another designated as Lord or Jehovah. And the messenger of Jehovah seems to be revealed as the pre-incarnate word, which is Christ Jesus. The angel of the Lord make oaths that only deity can make. The term angel of the Lord and Lord are used to refer to the same person. Those that encounter the angel of the Lord maintain they have seen God. God. In fact, this is a universal kind of reaction to this. You're going to find in studying this that a lot of people said, I've met God and I'm still alive. It's because they understood the doctrine that if they saw the face of God, they would die. No one has seen his face without dying. And so they wondered about whether they would live or not. They often wondered about their mortality. Those that maintain they have seen God. He accepts worship and affirms himself as being God. He is never referred to as God the Father. I think that's important. Okay, let's get to some of the instances or appearances of the angel of the Lord. Number one, Genesis 16, verse 6, and I'm going to go quickly. So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. And now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring of the way to Shur. I'm sorry, I didn't start my timer. Okay. How much time did it say I had?
It was 10 minutes, actually, 10 and a half.
Okay. 10, 3, 5. Okay. Thank you. Okay. Now the angel of the Lord found her by the spring of water by the wilderness and the spring on the way to Shur, verse 8. And he said, "Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" And she said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress, submit to yourself to her hand." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly so that they will not be counted for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child and you shall bear a son. You should call his name Ishmael because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be called a wild man, and a hand shall be against, and the hand of every man shall be against him, and every man he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren." And then she called the name of the Lord, and she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are a God who sees." For she said, "I have also seen him who sees me." There's in this passage we find the angel of the Lord giving a blessing to Abraham's firstborn, and that's very similar to the other one. But the whole point is God was protecting. God was spoken to her, and she recognized him as a God. I have a God who sees, or who sees me and sees my plight. Genesis 21, verse 9. And Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had borne to Abraham, scoffing. Therefore she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heir with my son, namely with Isaac." And the matter was very displeasing in Abraham's sight because of his son. But God said to Abraham, "Do not let it be displeasing in your sight because of the lad, because of the bondwoman. Whatever Sarah says to you, listen to her voice. For in Isaac your seed shall be called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman." Okay, now, wait a minute. This is the angel, you know, saying some of the same promised her, because he is your seed. So Abraham rose early in the morning and took the bread and skin of water and put it on her shoulder and gave it to the boy and to Hagar and sent her away. And she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. And God heard the voice of the lad. And then the angel of God, now here's the angel of God, it's that terminology, called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, "What ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Arise up and the lad and hold him with your hand, and I will make him a great nation." Notice the personal term, "I will make of him a great nation." This is the angel of the Lord speaking. Excuse me. The angel of the Lord is making these promises, making promises that only God can keep. Okay, let's continue on. The angel of the Lord and Abram and Isaac, and Abraham and Isaac. In Genesis 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, "Abraham," and said, "Here am I." Then he said, "Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering in one of the mountains of which I shall tell you." Oh, by the way, I'm using New King James Version, if you're wondering which translation. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for the burnt offering and rose and went to the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey, and the lad and I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son, and the fire in his hand and the knife, and the two of them went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here I am, my son. And he said, look, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, my son, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering. So the two of them went together. And when they came to the place of which God had told him, and Abraham built an altar there and placed the wood on the altar, wood in order, and he bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar and upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. So he said, here I am. And he said, do not lay your hand on the lad or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me. Now, that's the angel of the Lord speaking. And he said, you've not withheld him from me. That means he's probably deity. That's an implication anyway. Verse 13, then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said to them this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be provided. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord. Now he died defiant, by myself, he's making this for some reason. Because you have done this thing, you have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing, I will bless you, and multiplying, I will multiply your descendants as the stars of heaven, and the sand which is on the seashore, and your descendants shall possess the gates of your enemies, and in your seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because you have obeyed my voice. So that implies that this entire thing was directed by the angel of the Lord. He said, you've not withheld your son from me. This was an offering that God has called for. And this person is swearing an oath to him that he would be blessed through this. So I myself, he says. Who is that? Well, that's Jehovah, the angel of God. Notice for Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 13. For when God made a promise to Abraham, there you go. It's identified straight out. And God made a promise to Abraham. Because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will bless you, and multiplying you, I will multiply you. So here, the identity of the person who makes the promise is identified as God. The angel of the Lord and Jacob, Genesis chapter 28. Verse 10, now Jacob went out from Beersheba and went to Haran, and so he came to a certain place and stayed there all night because the sun had set, and he took one of the stones of that place and put it on his head and lay down in that place to sleep. And then when he dreamed, he behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached to heaven, and there were angels of God were ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac, on the land in which you lie, and I will give to you and to your descendants. So this, the angel, behold, the Lord stood above it. Well, he revealed himself in some form. Notice verse 14, and your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. This promise is made again. And you shall spread abroad to the west and to the east, to the north and to the south, and you and your seed and all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you and will keep you wherever you go, and will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done this, what I have spoken to you. Then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and that is Jehovah. And he did not know it, and he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place? And this is none other than the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. And then Jacob arose early in the morning and took the stone which he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil on top of it. And he called the name of that place Bethel. But the name of that city had been Luz. previously. Okay, let's continue to read on about this incident. Notice, and it happened at the time when the flocks conceived, I lifted my eyes and saw in a dream, and behold, the rams which had leapt upon the flocks were streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. And the angel of God, now here's the angel of God identified, notice, spoke to me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I said, Here I am. And he said, lift your eyes now and see all the rams which leapt on the flocks, which are streaked, speckled, and gray spotted. For I have seen that Laban is doing what Laban is doing to you. I am the God of Bethel. So he's the angel of God, and now he's identified himself as the God of Bethel. He says, where you anointed the pillar and where you made a vow to me. Now rise, get out of this land and return to the land of your family. So God is speaking here. He said, I'm the God of Bethel, yet he's identified contextually, verse 11 here, as the angel of the Lord. Notice, and he said, now your name shall no longer be called Jacob. Let's start verse 22. And he arose that night and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11, and he crossed over the ford to Jabbok, and he took them and sent them over the brook and over what he had. And then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Now notice the New King James, it puts a capitalized on the word man. There's no necessarily a reason for that, except that it seems to suggest contextually that this is God. Notice what he says. And he prevailed against him. Your man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Verse 25. And when he saw that he did not prevail against him, he touched the socket of his hip, and the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaks. And he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. And he said to them, what is your name? And he said, Jacob. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. Now, this is a significant scripture where a name change is taking place, because he's wrestling with a man, and the man changes his name to Israel. Notice, for you have struggled with God, he says, and with men, and have prevailed. So he seems to identify himself as God in this passage. Then Jacob asks, saying, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask about my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. They were always asking about the name. In fact, the angel goes, why are you asking about my name? And he said, I'm God. And then he said, I have seen God face to face and lived. Well, no man has seen the Father and lived, but they've seen this person who calls himself God, this Jehovah that's mentioned in this passage. Hosea 12, verse 3, listen. And he took his brother by the heel in the womb, and the strength, and in his strength he struggled with God. This is talking about Jacob. And notice what he says. And he struggled with God. Yes, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. Now there you have both of them being used in the same passage, and they're identifying the same event. So it is the angel, and it is Jehovah. It is the same one, notice. And he wept and sought favor from him, and he found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. That is the Lord God of hosts, and the Lord is his memorial name. Well, there's no question contextually here that God is identified as this angel. Genesis 48 and verse 3, then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me in Luz at the land of Canaan and blessed me. So he made synonymous the angel of the Lord, God appeared to me. He used it to talk about the same person, the same event. And he blessed Joseph and said, God, before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed. This is interesting. The angel who has redeemed me from all evil, blessed the lads, let my name be upon them and the name of my father Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. This is a reflection on the Redeemer aspect of the work of Christ, that he was later going to possess and come and redeem those who were in sin. The angel of the Lord and Moses. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, and the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, that why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he had turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, "Moses, Moses." And he said, "Here am I." Then he said, "Do not draw near to this place. Take off the sandals off your feet, for the place on where you stand is holy ground." And moreover, he said, "I am the God." Now, this is obviously, the voice didn't come from someplace else. It wasn't a confusion. It was an explanation. This bush is talking to me. There's something here. There's something going on. And he identifies himself. "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he's afraid to look upon God. Why? Because he was afraid he was going to die, is what he thought. And the angel of the Lord makes the same statement in verse 6 to Jacob in Genesis 28. And God said to Moses in Exodus 3:14, "I am who I am." And he said, "Thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent you." We understand this to be talking about Jehovah. And it's an implication that it's Jesus, who is Redeemer, also coming. So John 8 and verse 56, "Father Abraham rejoiced to see my day and saw it, and was glad. And the Jews said to him, 'You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?' And Jesus said to them, 'Most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am.'" They knew exactly what Jesus was saying. They knew exactly he was claiming to know, be familiar with that event and to know them. Stephen mentions this event in his sermon starting in Acts 7. He said, "This is he whom the congregation in the wilderness with the angel," now Stephen says it's an angel who spoke from the bush, "with the angel who spoke to him on Mount Sinai," excuse me, "and with our fathers and the one who received the living oracles given to us," excuse me, he's talking about Mount Sinai here, I thought bush, I'm sorry. Notice, "and this happened one time in Exodus 20, and God spoke these words, saying, 'I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage.'" The angel of the Lord and the people of Israel. In Exodus 13, and verse 21, I've got to go quickly. "And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so as to go by day and night. And the Lord," the Bible says, "went them in this form." By a pillar of fire and a pillar of cloud. Well, this was the angel of God. Notice Exodus 14 identifies this. "And the angel of God, who went before the camp of Israel, moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud went from before them and stood behind them." This is called the angel, the work of the angel of God. It's talking about the same thing. Notice in Numbers 20, though, in verse 16, "And we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice, and he sent the angel and brought us out of Egypt." This is an implication, I think, that the angel of the Lord was not necessarily Father, that we cried to Jehovah God, but he heard our voice and sent. That is, he was the sender of the angel of the Lord. How can both of them be Jehovah? Well, they both are Jehovah. They are both shared deity. Notice, let's go on and look at some more passages that imply this as well. Judges 2, verse 1. "And the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you from Egypt and brought you to the land." Who is this? This is the angel of the Lord. Says, "The land I swore to your fathers, and I said, I will never break my covenant with you." He's talking very personally here and identify himself as God. Notice, "And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars, and you have not obeyed my voice, and you have done this. Therefore, I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your side, and their gods shall be a snare to you." In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1, "Behold, brethren, I don't want you to be unaware that our fathers were all under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For the drink that was out of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." Now here you have a specific tie-in that Jesus was the one who provided fire, he was the one that provided cloud, guidance, and he also provided water. He was the provider, the God's provider back there under the old law. And that rock that followed them was Christ himself. The angel of the Lord and Balaam. "And God's anger was aroused," Numbers 22, verse 22, "was aroused because he went, and the angel of the Lord took his stand in the way, and an adversary against him. And he was riding on his donkey, and the two servants were with him. And now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord." That's what the angel saw. And is standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back to the road. And the angel of the Lord stood in the narrow path between the vineyards with a wall on his side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall so that he struck her. And when the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused and struck the donkey with his staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. And she said to Balaam, "What have I done to you that you have struck me these three times?" Now Balaam's, he's got to be not bright, as they say. You know, as one person said one time, he's not the brightest knife in the drawer. But anyway, Balaam said to the donkey, "Because you have abused me, I wish there was a sword in my hand." I mean, he's not even recognizing donkeys aren't supposed to be able to argue with you, evidently. "And for now, I would kill you." So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden ever since I became yours this day?" In other words, donkey starts defending himself. "Look, why are you taking this out on me? I've done nothing but faithful to you, you know." And he says to this day, "Was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." Then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said to him, "Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because of your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would have killed you by now. And let her live." And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back." And the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, "Go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak." So Balaam went in the with the princes of Balak. And now when the Balak heard that Balaam was coming, he went out to meet him in the city of Moab, which is on the border of Aaron and boundary of the territory. And Balak said to Balaam, "Didn't I not earnestly send you, calling for you? Why did you not come to me? And I am not able to honor you." And Balaam said to Balak, "Look, I have come to you. Now I have come in the power at all to say anything. The word that God puts in my mouth, that I must speak." He identified whatever the angel was telling him as the word of God. Only God is to be worshipped. And I think we not all understand that. We get that. Notice in Revelation 22, verse 8 and 9, "And now I, John, heard these things, and when I heard them, I fell down and worshipped at the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, 'See that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren of the prophets, and those who keep the words of this book. Worship God.'" Angels, regular angels, if you will, refused worship, and they warned the person doing it, "Listen, only worship God." But upon the other ones that we've mentioned, these people worship the angel of the Lord. And that means, that implies that this person was something more. He was not just a regular created angel. He was an uncreated son of God appearing beforehand. Notice, not man. Acts, we're not supposed to worship men either. "Stand up, I myself also am a man." The angel of the Lord and Gideon. Let's just continue on right quick. Judges 6, verse 11. "Now the angel of the Lord came near and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, and belonged to Joash the Asbarite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'O Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where is all the miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? And now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites.' Then the Lord turned to him and said, Now remember, this is the angel Lord, verse 11, and he just identifies him as the Lord here. The Lord turned to him and said, go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, and not have I not sent you? So here, the angel of the Lord is identified as the Lord. There's no question about it. And he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least of my father's house. And the Lord, once again, said to him, surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man. Then he said to him, if I now have I found favor in your sight, then show me a sign, which in, that is, that you it is you who talk to me. Do not depart from here, I pray, until I come to you and bring out my offering. Now remember what we just read about worshiping. I bring out my offering, set it before you. And he said, I will wait till you come back. So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and unleavened bread and from an ephah of flour, and the meat he put in a basket, and he brought broth in a pot, and he brought them out to him under the terebinth tree and presented it to them. And the angel of God said to him, take the meat and the unleavened bread and lay them on this rock and pour out the broth. And he did so. And the angel of the Lord put out the end of the staff and which was in his hand and touched the meat and the unleavened bread, and fire rose out of the rock and consumed the meat and the unleavened bread, and the angel of the Lord departed out of his sight. Now Gideon perceived that he was the angel of the Lord. So Gideon said, alas, O Lord God, for I have seen the angel of the Lord face to face. And the Lord said to him, peace be with you, and do not fear, you shall not die. The angel of himself said, now listen, you've seen me. I'm the angel of the Lord. Oh Lord God. He recognized him. This angel accepted worship, but yet the angel warned him, you won't die. You won't die because you've seen me. He wasn't the Father. He was indeed someone, the Son. The Holy Spirit, we're going to get to that. The Holy Spirit never manifested himself except at the baptism of Jesus in the form of a dove. We're going to get that. But the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament seems to be Jehovah, the Lord, the Redeemer. Okay, the angel of the Lord and Joshua. And it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite of him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, but as for the commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped. And worshipped. Yes, don't overlook that. And said to him, what does the my Lord say to his servant? And the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, take your sandals from off your feet, for the place on which you stand is holy. So Joshua did so. My friends, he's in the presence of Jehovah God here. And that's why he was told to take off his sandals once again in this occasion. And the Lord said to Joshua in chapter 6 and verse 2, see, I have given you Jericho. The Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given you Jericho in your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. Here, what the angel said is called the Lord said. Notice, the angel of the Lord and Samson's parents. Judges 13 and verse 2. Now there was a certain man from Zorah of the family of the Danites whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and had no children. Now I want you to know this led to a little side study on my part. I tried to find out this woman's name. It's not in the scriptures. It's kind of interesting. Anyway, I just want to bring that out. And the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink, and do not eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistine. I believe there's information here on abortion, in that a person is identified as a person before they're born. But yet he said, don't do this. He's going to be a Nazarite. But the angel of the Lord appeared to the woman and said this to her. And the woman came and told her husband, verse 6, and said, a man of God came to me, and his countenance was like the countenance of the angel of God. Very awesome. But I did not ask him where he is from, and he did not tell me his name. They were fascinated with this name of whoever the angel of the Lord was. And he said to him, "Behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. Drink no wine or similar drink, nor eat anything unclean, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death." Then Manoah prayed to the Lord and said, "O Lord, please let the man of God whom you sent come to us again and teach us what we shall do for the child who shall be born." And God listened to the voice of Manoah. And the angel of God came to the woman again. Now, it's an unnamed woman. It came to the woman again as she was sitting in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. What happened? And the woman ran in haste and told her husband and said to him, "Look, the man who came to me the other day has just now appeared to me." So Manoah rose and followed his wife. And he came to the man and he said to him, "Are you the man who spoke to this woman?" And he said, "I am." And Manoah said, "Now let your words come to pass. What will be the boy's rule of life and his work?" So the angel of the Lord, now we know who it is, the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, "Of all that I have said to the woman, let her be careful. She may not eat anything that comes from the vine, and may she not, nor may she drink wine or any similar drink, nor eat anything unclean. All that I commanded her, she shall observe." Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, "Please let us detain you, and we will prepare a goat for you." Here's once again an opportunity to worship him. Notice, "And the angel of the Lord said to Manoah, 'Though you detain me, I will not eat your food. But if you offer a burnt offering, you must offer it to the Lord.' For Manoah did not know he was the angel of the Lord." Now there's some interesting things going on in this passage. "Then Manoah said to the angel of the Lord, 'What is your name? That when the words come to pass, we will honor you.' And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why do you ask my name, seeing it is wonderful?'" Now, this is a unique passage, only time. It's really interesting. "Seeing it is wonderful. So Manoah took the young goat with the grain offering and offered it upon the rock to the Lord. And he did a wondrous thing while Manoah and his wife looked on. It happened as the flame went toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife saw this, they fell on their faces to the ground. But when the angel of the Lord appeared no more to Manoah and his wife, then Manoah knew that it was the angel of the Lord. And Manoah said to his wife, 'We shall surely die because we have seen God.'" They understood this principle. They couldn't see God, the Father, and live. Notice, "But his wife said to him, 'The Lord has desired us to kill. He would not have accepted a burnt offering and a grain offering from our hand. Nor would he have sworn to us these things. Nor would he have told us these things at this time.' So the woman bore a son and called his name Samson. And the child grew, and the Lord blessed him. And the Spirit of the Lord began to move with him in Manoah and Dan between Zorah and whatever the other place was. And the angel, notice, and the angel of the Lord and the fiery furnace." And I wanted to get to this path. I've got 5 minutes left here, so I'm going to try to wrap it up here. "Look," he said, "I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. And Nebuchadnezzar went near the mouth of the burning furnace and said, 'Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out from there.' And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out in the midst of the fire, and the satraps and the governors and the kings, they all gathered together. They saw these men upon their own body. No fire had no power. The hair of their head was not singed, and the smell of fire was not on them." Verse 28, "Nebuchadnezzar, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who sent his angel and delivered his servants who trusted in him.'" I think that's wonderful. "The angel of the Lord and Daniel, king answered Daniel and truly said, 'God is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the revealer of secrets, since you could not reveal this secret.' Notice, and the same angel shut the mouth of the lions. And Daniel said to the king, 'O king, live forever. God sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth.'" Let's continue on. Who is angel of God? God the Father has never been seen by men. John 1:18, "No one has seen God at any time." This is a scripture by the Holy Spirit revealing this to us. "The only begotten of the Son, who is the bosom of the Father, he has declared him." Jesus, the bosom, he's the Son of God. He has declared him. And I might say, not only in the New, but in the Old Testament as well. God was this one who was with the children of Israel, with all these people, all the way through the whole time. Exodus 33, verse 20, "But he said, 'You cannot see my face, for no one shall see me and live.' And the Lord said, 'Here is my place by me. You shall stand in the rock, so it shall be my glory pass by. You shall cleft the rock, cover you with my hand, and I will take away my hand, and you shall see my back, but my face you shall not be seen.'" Exodus 33. So, the angel of the Lord represents Jehovah. Who is the angel of God? Jesus has seen him as he is and declares him to us. Colossians 1:15, "He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Hebrews 1:3, "The brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person." The Bible says, Hebrews 1:3, what about the Holy Spirit? right? I think it's a valid point. And man has never been seen as a man. And the only time he's in a different form is at the dove at Jesus' baptism. His work mainly consists of being the power behind miracles and enabling people to reveal and write the oracles of God. Okay, the following instances, the lame exhibit qualities usually associated with God. And of course, yeah, we've noticed those things. Let's just summarize right quick. The promises to multiply Hagar's descendants. He accepted worship. Now he identifies himself with God. He stopped Abraham from sacrificing his son and blessed him. Appeared in Jacob's dream. Appeared to Moses. Israel were rebuked for not conquering the promised land. By him, the selection of Gideon. All these things are instances where God provides himself. He provided provisions and protection for the believers. He provided food for Elijah. He made divine appointments, Moses and Samson. He delivered the nation of Israel, protecting from Egyptian pursuit, future protection, protection of Jerusalem, the prayer of protection in the scriptures, judged human beings, judged nations. I'm just going to go. Jesus would seem to be the best choice. And he said, here I am, John, I am, in John 8, verse 59, 8, which is the same thing as the angel Lord said to Moses from the burning bush. Paul said he was in the wilderness with the children of Israel in 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, and so was the angel of the Lord, guiding, protecting the children of Israel, Judges 2 and verse 1. All the characteristics that Jesus had best fits this messenger of God in the Old Testament called the angel of the Lord. And so I believe that it was a Christophany. I believe that it was a theophany as well. I believe Jesus is the one who expresses himself as God all the way through the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, he becomes flesh. And then he dies for man. I think that's amazing. I want to leave you with this last thing. The best evidence the angel Lord in the Old Testament is to be distinguished from Yahweh are those narratives in which these two communicate with each other. It occurred when King David sinned by numbering Israel, and the angel appeared to him and raised his sword for judgment. When David offers a sacrifice, the Lord commanded the angel, and he put his sword back into its sheath. Here you have Jehovah telling Jehovah to put the sword back. And then another time when Yahweh and his angels spoke to each other in Zechariah's vision of four angels regarding the horses that patrol the earth. This is a fascinating study to me, and I hope that I've tried to think of a format to better put it, and it was just going, and I have 25 seconds left, so it worked. I tried to get through these. Sorry I read so much, but there's just no way to deal with this without looking at texts and what they have to say. I think the thing that impressed me most is the fact that I didn't realize so often that Jesus was very much a significant part of his protection and guidance of under the old law. And then it came to the New Testament, and he revealed himself, he gave himself to man. He was the agent of creation. He's the agent. Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega in the book of Revelation. It's fascinating to me. And I hope it was fascinating to you.